Father, we love you. And Lord, our desire today is to hear from you, to meet with you, Lord, and to walk away from here, Lord, having been impacted by being in your presence. Lord, we set our affections on you. God, I ask that our eyes would be open, that our hearts would be open, Lord, to receive what you have for us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, what a wild season that we find ourselves in. The reason why we're shifting worship a little bit today, I want to make you know, is I felt like I wanted to pray together for a little while today, but I felt like after we spoke, we'd have a little bit more fuel for our prayers. So we're shifting things a little bit because I have a couple things I want to go after together in prayer. I have been mostly, as I've watched the pandemic, as I've watched the civil unrest, as I've watched the division and just the things that have happened in our society over this last season, I've been mostly introspective about my evaluation. I haven't spent a lot of time trying to put words in a public sense. Some of you may have had conversations with me, but to everything that's going on. Sometimes, discretion is the better part of valor, and only a fool speaks his whole mind, and I know that that's could be me, okay? So I spend some time just praying and seeking and asking and saying, some get so busy in life that they don't recognize that there's a massive tectonic shift going on in the spirit realm right now. There are literally unseen realities that are happening that will forever change the way life on earth functions until Jesus returns, okay? And I'm aware of that to a degree, but I entered into a time, and we'll be entering into more a time of a little more concentrated fasting and prayer. I want to invite you into doing that. And as I have, I begin to see some clarity, because the things that have troubled my heart have been first things that I've heard, I've seen, I've wondered about, and I've taken to the Lord and said, Lord, is this me? Lord, do I have hidden racism that I don't know about? Because if I do, I don't want to have it there. Lord, if I'm prejudiced or if I'm biased, I want to know. God, are there agendas that the enemy has sown into my life to cause blindness in me? Because if there is, God, I want those removed. And, are there wounds that may have jaded my perception of people that, Lord, aren't accurate and aren't yours? And so I've spent some time, and hopefully we all have, at least this time of reflection, going, all these things that are going on, Lord, what does it mean? I haven't heard the Lord say specifically that means thus and so, but I know that when I began seeking the Lord, he gave me a couple really simple statements that I'm going to share with you today, and some elaboration on some of those statements that might help you, might help us. Because as I was bringing this to the Lord spoke to me, remember, I'm a good father. Yeah. Now, when we talk about fathers, fathers do something as a whole, and God has designed this so that fathers give to their children love, affirmation, acceptance, and purpose. Love, affirmation, acceptance, and purpose. That's what a perfect father does to equip his children. Now, because we're raised in a fallen society, in a fallen world, fatherlessness, if you will, leaves the children lacking in some or all of these qualities. Okay, now the age that we live in is massively full, massively wounded, and the evidence is what I call just an orphaned generation. But it didn't just happen overnight. And some of you may have a great relationship with a dad, but your dad wasn't perfect. And the Heavenly Father, the revelation of who he is as a father, far exceeds any manifestation of your earthly father, no matter how good it might be. Now, how this relates And I'll just say it this way. We're going to probably talk a little bit about the biblical narrative first, because in the Bible, in the Old Testament, God has a lot to say regarding his perspective on the fatherless. The word fatherless, I just went to it, it appears 40-something times in the Old Testament. That God, and most of the time it appears in context to God defending, caring for, or recognizing that the fatherless needs special attention. That the fatherless need an exceptional amount of grace and care, and his eye is upon them. Actually, he categorizes multiple times in there. He said the foreigner in the land, the widow, and the fatherless. He actually says a stranger, someone who is not at home where they are, one who has lost her other half, and one who hasn't been fathered, all require special care, and God's eye is upon them. And that got my attention. It's getting my attention. Because, and I hadn't put these together, but if I ask for a show of hands today, how many have either lost their father, had a strained relationship with their father, or wish their father had done some things better than what he did, I'm going to say we would have a lot of hands raised. But yet, we're not aware of the full impact that it might have had on our soul. Now, the other, I guess, little caveat is somebody said, man, I had a great dad. Great. But do you have a revelation of the perfect father? Because there's a few people say, man, my dad was great. He was awesome. But do you have a revelation of the perfect father? Because I tell you, even the greatest dad will pale in comparison to the perfect father and his perfect love. Now, I believe God is directing us to gain a fresh understanding of his father heart for us. But before I go there, I want to say it this way. If you look around you right now, you will find within our midst, manifestations of humanity with a lot of pain. Okay? What would take a generation of people, and again, these are topics and subjects, I'm just off the cuff here, to believe that we can say science is something that we ought to spend more time believing when it fits our narrative. Science that we all ought to wear masks and go home. Science that we've got man-made global warming. Science that says thus and so. But science that says that baby in the womb isn't really a baby. Science that says that we can terminate the life even in the ninth month because, you know, that science somehow contradicts. And we can accept those two things, saying we believe science, and have no guilt on our conscience. How could a generation at large allow that to go on other than some level of deception, some level of woundedness, some level of dysfunction that can sleep with itself knowing that they believe both of those things are okay? Now, you and I may not be in that boat, but it didn't take us very long to find out millions of people who are. Okay? Now, I say that to say society is orphaned. And until they come into relationship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, and they enter into what the scriptures calls the spirit of adoption, and they embrace the entitlement, if you will, of sonship, they're going to be striving and struggling to find love and affirmation and acceptance and purpose. That's the plight on humanity. Okay? Nothing new probably for most of us to recognize when we think about it. But here's where it gets a little more sticky, tricky. And that is the church that doesn't know their father. the Christian who doesn't know his love, his affirmation, his acceptance, and his purpose. See, as I've kind of evaluated the landscape over this last season, I became painfully aware that some of the voices that were taking up mantras and slogans that were non-kingdom ideologies weren't just unsaved heathen folk. I'm looking and I'm watching and I'm hearing that all of a sudden, you know, statements that don't make sense in the kingdom of God are championed and actually being used to bludgeon their brothers and sisters with. Now, I'm not going to be politically correct today. I believe that every life matters. I believe Black Lives Matters, for example. I believe that organization is corrupt, evil, rotten, and a demonic assignment to try to bring division into the earth. They're a Marxist organization, a godless organization, whose founders have said they want to attack the nuclear family and separate them from what is God's idea of the family, okay? But if you say the statement and you don't have enough, you're not patient enough to hear or to let somebody hear that out, you'll be a hater just for bringing any type of, trying to bring any type of clarity to that statement like I just did. Why? Because an orphaned generation is looking for purpose. And they have found one, although it be a counterfeit one. And it bleeds over into the church, and all of a sudden, we're open, we're double-minded, and a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. Now, some of the more subtle ways that orphanism has invaded the church is what I call adult ADHD, okay? Maybe ADHD is adult already in there, but the inability to focus on God for more than a minute and a half because we have trained ourselves to go to electronic stimulation in little 90-second blips, and we don't understand that you're made for relationship, and those don't happen in 90-second blips. They don't happen in 5-minute blips. The Spirit of God comes in the earth and he hovers and he waits and he looks for someone for whom he can show himself powerful and mighty to. There's a waiting that he's doing that corresponds with a waiting that we must do. And Christianity, by and large, has been packaged and prepared, and waiting on the Lord was left out of the ingredients. We're going to produce something. We're going to set this thing up like a theater. We're going to put the theater lights and the fog machine on. We're going to set the timer, and we're going to put the toast in the toaster, and it's going to pop up a minute, be done, put a little butter on it, and go home. And that picture, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to criticize anybody, but it's the high point of the Christian's existence is that 30, 60, or 90-minute moment every week where they feel closer to God. And I'll see you next week. And God said, that's really not what I'm wanting. What I'm really wanting is to be your father and to let me show you that your addiction, that your dysfunction, that your pain, that your ADHD, that your low self-esteem, that your pride, they come out of the same thing. You don't know me as your father like you could. I'm more certain of that than just about anything I've ever been certain of in my life. I believe as the Lord's been speaking to me, my heart, I'm just trying to say, God, how does this affect? And it's just like every time I pray, every time I look, here's another layer, here's another level. Because Psalm 68 says very clearly, God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. He's a father of the fatherless. But if the fatherless don't know it, then they still act like orphans. Now, the condition of society right now beckons us to ask questions. How did it get so bad? You know, we could say, well, God just allowed it for divine. No, I'm not going to go there as much as I'm saying. We as Christians have been so out of touch with the Father's heart and plan. We were building empires and seeking blessings. We were developing programs and orchestrating productions. And while we were doing that, a whole generation was finding their love and acceptance and affirmation and purpose in other places and other things. I'm telling you, I am shocked by, I could probably name a half a dozen young people that at one time or another were fully on fire for God. Some of them called me their spiritual father, and they have become a mouthpiece for deceptive agendas that disguise themselves as righteousness. I'm going to give you two terms today. If you learn nothing else, I'm going to give you two terms, and I'm going to describe them to you, and I want you to watch for them. The first one is called unsanctified mercy. Unsanctified mercy. The term almost explains itself, right? Oh, we need to be merciful, we need to be merciful, we need to be merciful. The devil does not deserve mercy. We're afraid to say that there's something called wicked people in the earth. Those that have given themselves to wickedness, those that have surrendered their heart and their lives to do bad things on purpose. I'm not praying for Satan to get better. I'm sorry. And I'm not expecting demons to somehow see the light. And when people have given themselves over to dark powers, we have to be able to say, wicked people we have to be aware and alert for wicked agendas that manifest themselves through wicked people. And we can't just say, let's just believe they're all nice. Let's just believe these liars who say they really are worried about women's rights. No, they're not. They want to kill babies. They want a right to choose. No, they want a right to murder. Let's just call it what it is. Because if we don't, we'll somehow be afraid that our political incorrectness will cause an unfavorable light to shine upon us. We can't be there anymore. The other term, is unsanctioned justice. Unsanctioned justice. It's very difficult. I'm gonna give you. It's what we see when the manipulated and controlled media shows us just enough of what they want us to see that we can pass judgment on someone before we know the full story. It's what goes on in society. When they want to get popular opinion on their side, and instead of doing what we foundationally as a nation said we would always do, and that is let the wheels of justice turn. Every man, woman, and child who has an accusation against them is innocent until proven guilty, and they're innocent. They will all have their day in court. Right now, I mean, I'm certain right now that there is no possible way that the law officer who had his knee on that man's neck could possibly get an honest trial in this nation. Okay? Obviously, what he did was wrong. But because he's been tried already in the court of public opinion, and because the massive amount of media has been portrayed him as a hater and a racist, there's no possible way. Now, I was shocked. I was repentant. I was sorry. But when I saw the second half of the film, that he was saying, I can't breathe before they were ever, because he was on methamphetamines and fentanyl. He was already paranoid and freaking out before anybody touched him, saying those words, I can't breathe. It changed the narrative, the picture, just a little bit, didn't it? And then when they did the autopsy, he said he had no contusions, no bruises, nothing on his neck. What he did have was a heart condition, which they already knew, that was exacerbated by this whole dramatic moment and the drugs in his system, and a perfect storm happened. Now, I look at that and I go, that doesn't justify a man kneeling on another man's neck for 8 minutes. Not but in the least bit. But it also doesn't make that man a racist murderer. Two wrongs don't make a right. Unsanctioned justice. We cry justice right now. See, justice isn't instant. That's the deal. Justice takes time, and Lord's always said that in the end, his judgment and his justice will prevail. But when we cry out for instant justice, what we're really crying out for is something that is not on God's agenda. Say, prove it to me. I will prove it to you. Luke 17. That's where the unjust judge is not giving the lady what she wants. Remember that one? And the lady says, I want justice against my enemy. And the Lord says, she's crying out night and day, night and day, night and day, night and day. It takes her a while before something shifts. And this judge says, even though I don't honor God, and I don't care about this woman, but she's pestering me enough. And Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith in the earth? Will I find those who are contending for justice, not trying to take justice into their own hands? Unsanctified mercy. See, these things are going to get bigger. Mercy and justice, they're going to get bigger. And we have to know the difference between that mercy which is of the Lord, that justice which is of the Lord, and that which isn't. And the reason why there's been many who've accepted the counterfeit, and let me just say it this way. It is landing on a generation like sorcery and witchcraft. It isn't just bad ideas. When we open the door to ungodly ideologies and accept them as truth, the floodgates get open. That's what we're seeing right now. I'm not trying to paint a massively negative picture, but I am trying to give us a wake-up call that things are probably worse than we thought. The frustration and the tension, anybody other than me just feel like I almost got to live with more frustration in my day-to-day operation than I've ever been recently. Just felt like we're just forced to be more frustrated and unsatisfied than what we've ever had to, and somehow it's like, we'll just deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. I want God's heart for why it is what it is and what my part is in seeing something turn. It's on God's heart to turn things. That's the good news. That's the point. I need to grab it. There it is. Our goal is to grow in the knowledge of God. Because as we do that, something happens. You can look at 2 Peter 1 if you want, 1 and 2. There's about three verses here that I want to look at. Actually, probably a couple verses more than that, maybe six or seven. But it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Who could use more grace and peace? Multiplied to you. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. His divine power has given us all things pertain to life and godliness. In him, what we need is available. That's my point. By which have been given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature, the essence of God, life like God has it, is what we're supposed to be living and modeling. Receiving and giving out. Partakers of the divine nature. And I just submit to you today, that's not where the bulk of Christianity has been living their life for these last decades. And the result of it is all around us. Fancy programs competing to have a cooler show than the guy down the street you know. And what it's got us is something that I call an orphan generation, even in the church. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, when you see that lust, I want to just say lust isn't just sexual. Lust for power, lust for purpose, lust for dominion and superiority. It's all around us. It's all around us, and it has entered into the church. But for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. See, that was where we were supposed, that was the table that that God wants us to dine at. That was the one that we were to be dining at all along. Not competition, not comparing ourselves to one another, not looking for another reason to be offended, not bringing accusation against those who don't think like us, not trying to find our identity in another human, but gleaning what we can from relationships and recognizing that everything that doesn't come from here should be coming from here. Because I can tell you, there are times where the love of God that we desire or that we need manifests through our brother and sister showing love to us. I don't want to say that there's somehow no need. God has made us for relationship with him and one another. But our hearts must together be partaking of the divine nature and pursuing together the knowledge, the virtue, the faith, the self-control, the perseverance, the godliness. Verse 8 says, for if these things are yours and abound, or one translation says, if these things are yours in abundance, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I had to ask my question, are these things yours? I'm asking myself, being asked yourself too. Are these things yours? These things have giving yourself with all diligence, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. If these things are yours, that's what it says. If these things are yours, I'm like, are they? Do they abound? Because if they are, then good things will be produced. You are in line to see good things happen. But if they aren't, if your heart hasn't really set itself to partake of the divine nature and to receive these things, then today's your day to realign your pursuits. Today's your day to decide God is true and he can be trusted. Because to lack these things at best is short-sighted, but verse 9, at worst, it's blindness. It says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. See, I can't preach to the lost today because we're in a house full of people, I believe most of which who claim Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But I can share with you today, when you see the evidence out there, recognize that you're supposed to have the answer in here. And what we see out there is a generation of orphans. And what we need to do in here is have a generation of people who have a revelation of the Father. And I want to cultivate that together. God has supernaturally visited me on more than one occasion to confirm that he's my Father. It's happened over the years, continues to happen, and I've got a greater clarity as to why it's happened right now than I've ever had. Because he operates in what Scripture calls the spirit of adoption. He's looking for candidates to be adopted into the family, but you're the agency by which he's making his announcement. See, there's something going on right now that's diabolical, and if we focus on it too much, it could be paralyzing. But we have two worldviews that are waging war right now in an unprecedented battle, and it's going to rage all the more as the days go on. The worldviews of the kingdom of God and the worldview of basically secular humanism. You can call it whatever you want, atheism, alternative realities, whatever, but these worldviews are manifesting. And the reality is, God is the God who never changes, and his word has been settled in heaven forever. And every other worldview seeks to erode and steal and damage and keep God's people out of adhering to and believing his perspective and worldview. And they're subtle, and they're evil, and they're deceptive, and they're wicked. And my heart's desire today is that we would embrace a new season of knowing the Father and making the Father known, of going together. Part of what I want to do here, we're gonna pray in just a few minutes, do worship, but part of what I wanted to do is that we would just hunger together for a greater revelation of the Father. So that as we're worshiping and saying, Father, I want to know you, and in a moment, Anna goes, wow, I got something. She stands and says, this is what I saw the Father. And at that same, next moment, Evan says, I saw this as well. And we together can corporately mine a revelation of the Father together that will bless us all, but we get to carry together out there, not just tickle each other's fancies with it in here. Is your fancy tickled? Mine is. Because I believe the days ahead have with it a whole other level of battle and warfare. And we've got to do better in the future than what we've done in the past. Now, Greg, particularly for the last season, has spent a significant amount of time learning and teaching and developing some classes from the life model. The life model is a comprehensive, I could call it an inner healing model, I could call it a maturity model. There's a lot of things I could say, but I'm telling you, if you want help discovering the Father's heart, and you don't know where to start, see him. He may have a book, he may say join a class, but I can tell you, I don't have all the answers, but I can tell you there's more than one avenue by which a greater revelation of the Father's heart is available to you. And make it a passion and a pursuit. You may not realize, I know some said today, my dad's been awesome, and I go, good for you. But don't let that be a reason for not discovering the fullness of who your Heavenly Father is. Because there's still a great blessing in that. The truth is that the wisdom of this world is still foolishness. And God, according to 1 Corinthians 1, in his wisdom, is pleased to use the foolishness of preaching to carry this message. That's what it says. The foolishness of the message, the preaching of the message. God's method is still the same. You and I preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we do it with our words and with a revelation that we have in our heart of who he is. I'm probably done. But I'm going to read something. My 2 Corinthians 5, 17 is kind of like my life verse. And I'm going to read a few of them after it. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'd like the worship team to come too. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation, or the ministry of reconciliation, some translations say. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There's a purpose for you. We've been ambassadors of the kingdom, ministers of reconciliation, carriers of a divine nature, and releasers of a spirit of adoption, to an orphan generation. I want that to go deep in you today. I'm going to pray that that goes deep in us today. We're going to worship a little while, and I'm going to ask that you just do your best to allow the Holy Spirit to bring this message into a deeper reality for each of us today. We're going to, and then I'm going to ask that you join us because we're going to do some intercession, regular Harp and Bowl intercession. We're going to pray that this revelation grip God's church, and this revelation flows from us into this hurting society. This right now, I think the community at large, not just Springfield, but humanity at large in America, I'll say, is ripe for revival. But this is the revelation that they need, and we've got to do a better job of carrying it and releasing it. Father, we love you. Lord, we believe that you're a good father. And Lord, we just want to return our hearts to the place of worshiping you in spirit and truth and asking, Father God, that as we do, Lord, you would reveal to us afresh and anew who you are. Lord, we give you the rest of this day, God. Every day is yours, but we specifically say, Lord, before we go off to the next rest part of our day, Lord, we're positioning ourselves for an encounter. We're positioning ourselves, Lord, for an equipping and a commissioning. God, we're equipping, we're positioning ourselves today, Lord, to receive your healing, to receive, Lord, your love, your affirmation, your acceptance, and your purpose. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Just stand together. Let's just worship the Lord for a while.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the same Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just a simple faith to plunge beneath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend.
I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how deep your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. His portion, He is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in His eyes. And grace is an ocean we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like the soggy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest.
An opportunity for healing to manifest in the orphan heart, for a greater revelation of the Father's love to be imparted right here, right now. There's a longing that seems to yet be satisfied. There's a wound that has yet to be healed. If there's an understanding of how much the Father loves you that you've let to embrace and to realize. I would invite you this morning to come forward. Today, if you ask the Lord for a revelation of the Father afresh and anew, I believe you're going to get it. Today, if there's a wound, if there's an absence, if there's a measure of love and acceptance, affirmation, purpose, that hasn't hit your heart from the Father, I believe today is your day. I ask the Holy Spirit right now. I believe He's drawing hearts and drawing people. This could be a turning point for many today. A fresh revelation. No more looking back. Like the song said, no more living in the past. No more anger because of how you were treated or what wasn't given you. No more sorrow or sadness when you think about that period in your life or that person, that trauma that happened, or that thing that wasn't given to you like it should have been. Jesus, I want to pray with you today. You need a fresh revelation of the Father's love. You need a touch of the Holy Spirit today to put a closure on those wounds that you decided to consider normal. Are you just ready for that next season, that next place? You're done with where you are. You want to get out of that stuckness. I believe this is all what the Lord wants to do for us today. So as we sing this song, He loves us. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And allow Him to do for you what no one else can. Thank you, Father. This altar is open.